are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, originating in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Avenue Craig speaking, and we're certainly thankful that you are tuned our way. We're trusting the Lord will take our broadcast and make it a real blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for all of your rich blessings to us, for we realize that it is in Thee that we live and move and have our being. We are thankful for your love that enabled your only begotten Son to come into this world to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer. And we are thankful that we have the privilege of sharing that good news with our congregation today. May the precious Holy Spirit accompany it and make it a blessing to everyone in our congregation. We're asking you to minister to each one. They have burdens, they have cares, they have concerns, and you've told us to cast all of our care upon you. So bless our congregation today and minister to through the congregation, through thy love and grace, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, a challenge Jesus gave, follow me. As Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. That's Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. And reading from Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and invited them, or asked them, to come and follow him. And they immediately left the ship, and their father, and followed him. Now Andrew and Peter had had contact with Jesus before this time. Andrew was a disciple of John, and Andrew and another disciple heard John say, behold the Lamb of God, John 1:36. And they followed Jesus and spent some time with him. Then Andrew went to get his brother Peter and told him, we have found the Messiah. And he brought Peter to Jesus. So we don't really know just how long after that time it was that Jesus was walking along by the seashore, and he said to Peter and to Andrew, follow me. But this really meant something for them to do. Peter had a job, and Andrew, of course, and he was a married man. What about his job? What about his home? And what about a family if he had children? We are not told whether Andrew was a married man or not, but he was a fisherman, and he had a job. Yet Jesus said to them, follow me. And they did not hesitate. They immediately followed him. Now, Jesus often offered challenges. In reality, he challenges every one of us to follow him. Yes, Jesus challenges every one of us to follow him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus Christ has often challenged people, and he challenges us, everyone, to leave the world and to follow him. Our text that I use, Matthew 9 and 9, speaks of a tax collector. Doubtless he was a pretty well-paid man and may have had some riches, even as Zacchaeus did down there in Jericho. But there he sat at the seat of custom, and Jesus, walking by, said, follow me. And our text says that he followed him immediately. Immediately he arose and followed him. So we have an example here of five of Jesus' disciples who immediately left their task, whatever they may have been, and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter at one time, later on in their ministry, said to the Lord Jesus, we have left all to follow you. And they did. They left all to follow Jesus. But that is not the standard just for the apostles or the disciples of old. If we are going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as he challenges us to do so, we must forsake all as well. Now, I'm not saying that you've got to get rid of your house, or that you've got to get rid of your car, or that even that you've got to leave your job. But what I am saying is that if we are going to be a true disciple of Christ, we must be willing to forsake all. We must be willing to consecrate and dedicate all. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now we read in Matthew 19 about another person. A rich man comes to Jesus asking about what good thing he must do that I may have eternal life. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There's only one that is good." Nevertheless, Jesus answered him, "Go and sell that you have, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. So his material possessions, his riches, meant more to him than eternal life does. And you know, there are many people in the world today that are in the same state as this rich young ruler was. They put material things ahead of God. But if we are to be a disciple of Christ, we must put him first. Unless you love me more than you love father and mother, brother and sister, husband and wife, yea, even your own life, you cannot be my disciple. Jesus said to certain one unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now, there was a rather difficult commandment. You know, we lack what we lack, and we still want to hold on to them. But again, if we're going to accept the challenge that Jesus Christ gives us, we must be willing to forsake all, to follow him, and not only that, but to take up the cross. Now, Satan would have you believe that it is a hard way, and that how he gets many people to follow him. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust or desires and enticed, James said in 1:14. But, beloved, our desires must be changed. And whenever the Lord comes into our heart, he changes our heart. He changes our life. He changes our desires. But now back to this thought of take up your cross and follow me. You know, the cross was one of the ways, or maybe the most shameful way, that the Romans had of putting the criminals, and they didn't usually crucify any except their greatest one or worst ones. So the cross was not all that desirable, or not desirable at all, I might say. But nevertheless, Jesus said, we must take up our cross and follow him. Now, what did he mean by that? Well, the cross was a symbol of humiliation and shame. The cross was an indication of suffering. And so we must be willing to take up our cross. We must be willing to follow to suffer the humiliation. We must be willing to suffer the shame. And we must be willing to suffer if need be, to be a disciple of Christ. Now, I'm not presenting a hard way. The way of the transgressor is hard. And Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." But everything is not roses. You're not going to sit down in a rocking chair and rock your way to glory. That's why the Lord gave us an armor, was that we might fight. We must fight the good fight of faith. We must put on the whole armor And when we have done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, having on the helmet of salvation, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So Paul said, in effect, whenever he accepted Christ, he put himself on the cross. He put his own desires there, his own ambitions there. He put them on the cross and he let them die. He died to self, in other words. But when he died to self, he was made alive to Christ. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God's service is not an unreasonable service. Now, the apostles gave us a good example in taking up the cross and following Christ. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. Mark chapter 10 and verse 28. And when they, James, John, and Peter, had brought their ships to land, they left all and followed him. Luke chapter 5 and verse 11. Levi, whom I referred to and used as a text for our lesson today, Matthew, we know him better, was sitting at the seat of custom, and Jesus said to him, Follow me. And he left all and rose up and followed him. I say these the apostles were an example for us to follow. Each one of them took up their cross and followed the Lamb. Now we read in the book of Revelation, chapter 14 and verse 4, about 144,000 on Mount Zion with Christ. Now I read somewhere or another that someone was advancing the idea that these were 144,000 converted Jews that were going to be evangelists when the millennium comes. This has no reference to that whatsoever. We read of the 144,000 twice in the book of Revelation. The first time we read of them, they represented the early morning church. Now here we have the second time they are mentioned, in the evening time of this gospel day, and they represent the church in this evening time. For we read on here in Revelation 14, These are they which were not defiled with women. That's talking about false religion. For they are virgins. In other words, they had been redeemed, they were pure, they were holy. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. So this 144,000 has nothing to do with a supposed millennial reign, which will never come anyway. It represents God's people in the evening time of the gospel day. And I want you to notice again, they were virgins. In other words, they were pure. They were holy. They were not defiled by false religion, nor by false spirits. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. The early morning church loved the Lord so much that they were willing to give their very life for him. Yes, and many of them did, as we read in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, the latter part of that chapter. The first part deals with those who saw some wonderful and marvelous victories. But it goes on in that 11th chapter of Hebrews and said, but others, and there were those who were sawn asunder. There were those who were fed to the wild beasts. They wandered in sheepskins, goatskins, and wandered in the caves and in the mountains. Why did they suffer so? Because they had taken up their cross to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And they followed Him, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Yes, we must love the Lord more than we love our own life. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. So we read in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Mildred E. Howard wrote a hymn entitled Consecration. We have it in our hymn book, and it starts out by saying, since Jesus gave his life for me, should I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. And that asks a question which is fair to ask to my radio congregation today. Since Jesus gave his life for you, should you not give him mine? We read in Psalm 5 and 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness. In Psalm 25 and 5 we read, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. We read in Psalm 27 and 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, lead me in a plain path. And then in Psalm 61 and 2, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we read in Romans 8 and 14, they that live in the Spirit walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And if we'll live in the Spirit and walk after the Spirit, then we shall have everlasting life. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So Jesus has given a challenge to each and to every one of us. Come, follow me. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the word that has been given be a blessing and a challenge to our radio congregation. If there be those who know thee not, we pray that the Holy Spirit will convict them and will draw them. For we know that Jesus tasted death for every man, and it is not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So may you bless our congregation with the truth that has been presented. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. I have said it many times, and I'll say it again on today's broadcast. If our broadcast is a blessing to you, it would be an encouragement to us to know. And we do invite you to write us. Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our fax number is 301-739-7173, 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, You can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine. They're on our webpage. We also have an archive there of previous broadcasts if you have missed any, or if you'd like to listen to one again. You may go to our webpage, www.wayoftruth.org, and download a broadcast that you'd like to listen to again. And we invite you to tune in our webpage on Sunday morning at 20 minutes to 11 for our morning worship service, which is broadcast live, and our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Again, they are broadcast live over the Internet, and our Internet address is www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. And until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer.